From the Findlay Toyota Studios, it's Cofield and Company.
We only have one rule on this team. What is that rule?
ELE.
That's right, ELE. What does ELE stand for?
Everybody love everybody.
Everybody love everybody.
With Steve Cofield.
Well, I don't need to shave because it don't grow in right here and right here.
Now you're telling me that you were so ingrained with white trash DNA that your facial hair actually grows in on its own, all white trashy like that?
And Adam Hill.
Sir, one more outburst, I will strangle you with my microphone wire. You understand me?
On ESPN Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Give me your booze. I am nourished by your hatred.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for him.
All right, here we go on this Friday. Cofield and Company, Steve, Adam, Chrissy along in a little bit. Mark Seidel's here. Big day on the way. Ton of good spots. Hockey later on with ESPN's John Bucci Gross. He's in town. You fired up?
I am, very much.
What were you just laughing at?
It's every day. You write something to me in the rundown, and it makes me laugh every day.
I do?
Yeah, the last 2 days. It's definitely cracked me up.
Okay. I'm funny. Not on the air, but I'm funny in written form.
Yes.
On our rundowns, which it might get out, it might not. We might forget to do it. Might skip over it. I don't know. Well, that's good. I'm entertaining. That's all I need.
There's thieves around, so, you know, we got to make sure that we're protected against that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We had some concepts stolen from the show, but oh well. Well, it was kind of a lame concept anyway. So we got a big weekend on the way. We'll get to VGK's results inside of about 4 minutes here. We're actually going to talk a little wrestling and WAGs. What are WAGs?
Wives and girlfriends.
Okay. Brandi Rhodes?
I don't think she qualifies.
She's on the show. Isn't she on WAGs Atlanta, does she pop in?
Yeah, but I think the whole concept generally was like a wife and girlfriend that is only a wife and girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, and she's
like,
more than
she's
that.
She's very accomplished in her own right, so it doesn't really count. But yeah, she's part of it.
What do you have to cover this weekend?
Golden Knights.
Okay. So no UNLV?
I'll be out there.
Okay, just making sure.
Come on, I don't miss games.
Okay, well, you don't miss anything.
We got a morning skate, and then I'll head over to there's a parade tomorrow. I'm going to go see that.
Okay.
Golden Knights are participating in a parade downtown, and then I'll go over to the Thomas & Mack and then straight to the T-Mobile.
Excellent. So Fresno's in town. I had a chance to hang around Marvin Menzies. I didn't ask any questions. I just stole audio from other people, but, you know, it's our audio. You know how I am. I'm like you. If other people want to ask the questions, go ahead. If there's something they missed, I'll jump in.
You're a lurker.
I am a sidler. Yeah, I just kind of hang around Marvin Menzies. But big game this weekend because they're 6-4. Fresno has been one of the dominant teams in the conference, although they're 7-3. But they've been very impressive. Justin Hudson, you remember him? Former UNLV assistant. Great defensive coordinator. He's awesome. So he's bringing this Fresno team in with Nate Grimes, who UNLV, as far as I know, when Dave Rice was here, they really didn't give him much of a look, and he's turned into a really good player up front. One of the questions asked of Marvin Menzies getting ready for the Fresno State game was, based on the last game, you know, the confidence you've got and what Boise ran offensively, how does Fresno compare on both sides of the ball?
They have some similar sets and they have some similar things that they do offensively, so that's good in the one sense because they're things that we just saw recently. However, they're different, very different personnel. They're long. They're from guard positions. They're very long. They're athletic. They're bouncy. They can go get, like NBA guys, they can go get tough shots and go make tough shots, even when you do the right things defensively. And so you got to keep your head up and you got to keep, you know, just stay the course and work the plan.
Impressive team, right, from a lineup standpoint. Got two guys on the wing who are big and can shoot threes. Huggins in from New Mexico State.
And you know that they're going to defend. You know that they're going to play defense.
Why is that?
With any Justin Hudson team, as you mentioned, they are going to play defense. And Fresno State has traditionally been, you know, a pretty good defensive team. But you add Justin Hudson and what he likes to do, they're going to really defend hard.
Was one of the top 10 defensive coordinators in all of basketball. That's why San Diego State was consistently a top 40 team on defense. Now, these guys have a relationship going back years. Marvin Menzies will explain here. He and Hudson go back to, you know, days being around each other and, in, you know, certainly in California.
Because they're a talented bunch of guys. And, you know, Justin, who's, you know, one of the guys in my, I like to call my basketball family, is doing a phenomenal job with them right now. And he's just a basketball guy. He always has been. When he was a high school coach in Bakersfield, and that's what kind of attracted me to him. And so we became very good friends since then.
My guess is that this relationship will not go down like the San Diego State Fresno game, because Hudson, fresh off the SDSU staff, the game in Fresno the first time around got really nasty. Fresno jumped out to a massive lead. Trying to think of some of the trash talk that was reported by the San Diego writer. Actually, the Fresno side was screaming at San Diego, "We got them. They don't practice hard." I was like, whoa, that's some inside baseball.
Yeah. I mean, they clearly got that from somewhere, which is probably their coach.
Yep. And as it turned out, there was a comeback made in the game. So, because it was actually San Diego got out to the great start. Fresno was down. Fresno came back and won the game.
Yeah.
But it was really heated, really nasty. This won't be that way, I don't think.
I don't think so.
It's not really Marvin Menzies' nature.
Yeah, I don't think so.
There's some good heat in this conference. There's some good heat in this conference. All right, what happened last night with VGK?
The Golden Knights fell down early, 1-0. Was not a great start to the game. They had a miserable first period, and it looked like kind of what we talked about a little bit yesterday, that there might be a little hangover of this great win against Tampa Bay, the rally, and everything else that they did. And after a very, very bad first period, Gerard Gallant decided to, and I Gallant is stuck in my head, by the way. I know it's Gallant, and we've decided now it's Gallant.
We did?
It's Gallant. It's, yeah.
When was that decided? Is this Zach Britton?
No, it's essentially. I mean,
Zach Britton went from Zach spelling to Zach spelling.
It's Gerard Gallant. I don't think I'll ever be able to say that.
I don't think you do Belmar the right way either.
Belmar?
Yeah, you don't do it correctly.
Yeah.
I know hockey. Sorry, man.
You do. So I'll always say Gallant. But, he reunited the first line, moved Riley Smith up to the first line, and we talked about it. The first line has done nothing lately. It's been very disappointing. In the second period, they erupted. They got two goals from Marchessault, one goal from Carlson. Carlson also had an assist. It was vintage Golden Knights top line. They rallied for three goals. They go up 4-2 eventually, and then they hang on an onslaught from Detroit in the third period, but Fleury held up, finally gave up a goal with 2 seconds left, but it was too late. And they get the 4-3 win. So a road trip that started miserably, they find a way to get 4 points out of the four games, and they are now in position to come home, have 8 of their next 9 at home. They're in a good spot. This is where they want to really make some hay, because, you know, they're trailing both Calgary and San Jose, and they've played more games than them. So they want to make a real move here with these 8 of 9 at home. The only road game the rest of the month is at Colorado. So they've got a real chance to put themselves in position to potentially challenge for the division. And if they're going to do it, they have to do it now.
Blue Jackets, Coyotes, Maple Leafs, Preds. Then Monday, I know you're out of town doing the game at the Avs, and then back home again. Bruins, Jets, Stars, Panthers.
So these 8 games that are coming up, 8 of 9 at home, 6 of them right now are in a playoff spot. So they've got good teams coming in, but they're at home. 16-6 at home. This is where you want to make a move.
15 points. That might be high.
Wait, what? Oh, you want 15 points out of these 9?
Yeah.
It's about right.
Okay. Not too bold?
No.
Pretty good teams on the schedule.
I know. It's real tough. I mean, you got, as you said, Nashville's coming, Toronto's coming, Columbus is in a playoff spot. There's really good teams coming in. The kind of weird thing is what teams did you not mention there? Calgary and San Jose, neither one as part of the stretch. They have 4 games against those two teams in March, but none the rest of February.
So the difference-making time could be March. Obviously, they have to put themselves in a position by... This essentially is the season for division chances.
Yeah.
They have to smoke these freaking teams, the majority of them.
Funny, Steve. That's exactly what I just wrote that people could read about tomorrow.
That's awesome.
About tomorrow. Yeah, that's the storyline.
I'm good at coming up with angles. I can't actually write, but the concept is there.
Yeah, this is a big, big stretch of games for them.
No messing around, VGK. No messing around. Hey, this weekend, really cool deal If you're not going to the UNLV basketball game against Fresno at 2, you can go watch football. What? Football season's over. No, it's not! The AAF is here. We're going to talk to Charlie Ebersole in the 5 o'clock hour about the brand new football league. But there's a viewing party tomorrow. Chrissy is on the scene for the AAF viewing party. It's at the MGM Grand. San Diego Fleet taking on San Antonio. It's inside the Tap Sports Bar, 3 o'clock. Lots of specials, prizes, meet and greet. You get to hang out with Chrissy, so get out to the MGM tomorrow for the opening of this brand new professional football league, the Alliance of American Football.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on a Friday. Adam, Steve, Chrissy, and we have two women in the studio. This is so rare. We're so fired up. Don't get creepy now. Don't get creepy.
You don't have to tell me.
So I'm going to kiss some ass to start, right? When you meet people, Adam, do you get a vibe from them sometimes? You're like, okay, this person's impressive. Like, they're going to be, or they already are, an achiever? Because I'm getting the vibe with Brandi Rhodes, and I've had it before. I've had it before, and I'm often been right. Now, what happened is I almost shame myself. I'm like, God, what happened? Look at how impressive this person is. I haven't done anything. This young lady is starting up a wrestling organization. She's already doing a reality TV show. She went to Michigan. She went to Miami. This is nuts. I don't know where to start. How you doing?
You make me sound really good, so you don't have to stop.
I know, right? I'll just sit here and let you...
We'll just roll tape on this, and I'll send it to my mom whenever she's mad at me. And
right?
It'll change things. Great.
So we got a new wrestling organization coming around. First event's going to be here in Vegas. So you've been in Vegas all week long. I think you had a big blowout party last night. So tell us about it. It's AEW.
All Elite Wrestling, yeah. So kind of the spirit behind All Elite Wrestling is a... The group of us that are working together coined the elite in wrestling, and mainly stemming from the guys that wrestle. They've wrestled all over in Japan and different promotions all over the United States, and they're kind of just like this free spirit group of disruptors is what we like to call ourselves. Like we kind of just go with what we feel and what feels right and what feels good for the fans, as opposed to, well, what's going to get us the biggest paycheck? Well, what's going to get us to this company? Just more of a feeling of true entrepreneurship and just great wrestling. So we've kind of all just stuck together, and a lot of stars aligned all at the right time to give us this opportunity, and we're super psyched, and we're doing it.
What just made you believe there was an opening for this? I think so many people are like, there's one big organization out there, you can't take them on, but you guys saw an opening, and, you know, so far there's been a great reception.
Yeah, so... last September, we put on a show called All in Chicago, and it's the first show in probably like 20-some years, aside from the WWE, to gross over 11,000 people. The cool thing about that is we sold those tickets out in 29 minutes. That's
what
crazy.
Took so long?
I know, right? Well, hey, you know, who knows? This time, we'll see. Maybe we can make it. Maybe we can shave that and make that quicker. Yeah. But, you know, it's just this... That was a huge indicator for us that people are wanting more. They want more than what they have. They maybe like what they have, but they want more. And there was a time in wrestling where they had a lot. You know, they had a lot to consume. They had maybe this day of the week, I'm watching this, and then I'm watching that, and then I'm going to see this pay-per-view. And it was just kind of like a buffet for them. Now it's kind of streamlined, you know. But with
monopolies are not good in any sport. And... Well, we should correct Adam. You said earlier, hey, there's only one big organization. There's actually other big organizations in the world, right?
Yeah,
All Japan
absolutely.
Is gigantic, is it not?
So
New Japan, I'm sorry.
Pro Wrestling is very popular. And that was another thing I was going to say. With the onset of streaming, that kind of started to open up the world to people as far as what else is available in wrestling. And that's how they've been able to find a lot of their favorites, like, you know, Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. You know, they've never been on WWE television. So...
And where were those guys? They were mostly Japan?
New Japan, Ring of Honor is another one that streams a lot. Yeah, so, like, these have been the ways that people have kind of fallen across or onto people that they really, really like and been able to consume their wrestling, and then now this is giving them that opportunity to see them on much grander scales more often, which is great.
And how much does social media make that of, you know, give you that ability to do that? Because I'm not a wrestling person. We've talked about that before. I follow a lot of people that are. You guys have been blowing up. Even if I wasn't actively trying to find out information, like, I would know all about you guys already from all the people that are out there. So how much does that help?
Oh, man. So the entire platform pretty much up until now has been built on social media. The Young Bucks started a YouTube show called Being the Elite. I don't even know how long. I want to say like 2 years ago. And they have like 300,000 subscribers that are crazy into the show. Every time the show goes up, the numbers are just insane as far as people who want to watch it and see it. And then my husband has started his own YouTube series, which kind of more so is on the All Elite, the wrestling end, and leading into the different shows and everything. And people are just consuming like crazy. It's easy access for them to their favorite wrestling stars, and kind of helps them feel like they're part of the story. So social has done everything pretty much for us. We advertised All In strictly on social, nothing else. We didn't pay for a single advertisement anywhere else.
That's Brandi Rhodes. You mentioned your husband. He is?
Cody Rhodes.
The son of?
Dusty Rhodes.
Nice. Adam, you remember Dusty Rhodes?
Certainly. Yep. Yeah.
What kind of elbow does Dusty do?
I blew it, I know. You know, you're actually very nice. I said atomic, but it was bionic, but you didn't even correct me. You can smack me around on that.
That's okay. You were on the right track.
Was I don't know if Adam's going to know this. Was Dusty better in the ring or out of the ring? I say
Dusty
out.
Is just a star.
Amazing
I
feel
like,
on the mic.
I feel like he was a master of both, which is so rare, and especially at that time, so rare to have full command of both. He was just the best.
His hard time speech, YouTube it. It's ridiculous because like there's like genuine emotion, and he's talking about hard times around the country, hard times for the workers, and Dusty Rhodes has hard times. It's I can't do it. It's
because of Ric Flair, guys.
Yeah, it's freaking
We adore
great.
Ric Flair these days, but he put hard times with my father-in-law, so, you know, there's a little bit of bad blood. No, I love Rick. He's
right? I hate that guy. So the first event is Memorial Day weekend here.
Yeah, absolutely. This is it. MGM Grand, it's historical.
For a small venue, just kind of start
yeah,
out
you know,
club.
Just a little tiny guy. No, no,
pressure.
I mean, last night, obviously, we had the ticket on sale party, and man, just being at the pool at MGM Grand with the grand, you know, just green building behind us, just kind of cascading there, and then like the palm trees and the glowing water and all of the just excited fans. It was just something that I don't think I'm ever going to forget.
But it got out of control, though.
Did it?
I thought it would just be a very nice press conference. I thought it would just be very nice.
For wrestling, that was pretty nice. Nobody went in the pool, so that's good.
Was there a little brouhaha?
I mean, based on what I was seeing on Twitter, it got, you know, it was like Cormier and Jones in the lobby.
Is that right? The MMA?
Yeah.
Scrap?
Things always get a little, you know, dicey. It's competitive.
Organic.
So,
organic. All
yeah,
organic.
Yeah.
It's not
but
like it's planned.
Long as nobody landed, a t-shirt landed in the pool because one of our new guys, Sonny, decided he could throw this t-shirt and that it was going to clear that big pool. I don't know what he was thinking.
He trusted his arm way more than he should
yeah,
have.
Yeah, if it would have made it, he should be a quarterback because, like, that was such a huge... When he threw it, I was like, what are you thinking?
Thankfully,
no one jumped in
for it. Yeah, I
can't
believe
it,
we didn't have, like, 50 people diving
into that's the pool. What I thought was... I thought we were going to get the whole thing done after that. Here were going to come the fire marshals and all these people, and that was going to be it.
So you're the boss, in essence.
Well...
Can you play the boss, essentially? you're going to be on camera.
You mean like on-camera sense?
Yes.
You know.
Discipline.
I am a wrestler, though. So, you know, I don't know that I want to play that card. I think it's...
You definitely want to play it outside of the ring, though. I mean, this is one of your aspirations, right? You have multiple degrees, right?
Yes.
Miami followed, you know, before that was Michigan.
Yeah.
So this is no joke.
This is great for my parents because they said, you know, hey, you need to get these degrees. And then I started pro wrestling, and then they kind of felt a little strange for encouraging me to get these degrees. And then here it's come back full circle, and they're like, aren't you so glad you got your degrees?
See?
All for them.
Now
they're
she's
loving
the boss.
This. Yeah.
AEW, it's coming to town. May 25th, MGM Grand Garden Arena. All right, let's get into your background, because I've already mentioned Michigan like 15 times.
Oh, boy.
Adam's a big Michigan guy. He loves Michigan football.
From Ann Arbor, yes.
Yeah, okay. Awesome. Well, you got a Tigers hat on. That I can get along with you on for sure.
Well, it's been a rough couple of years, but we'll
that's
be back.
Okay. It's always rough times for the Tigers, but that's kind of like why we love them.
True. Do we like Tom Brady?
I don't not like him.
But I'm glad you didn't go over that. We don't like him. Well,
you don't.
We have grudging respect for him. He's a Bills fan. I'm a Jets fan. He's made our lives miserable for 20 years.
Hey, when it counts, he's always there.
I know.
I've never seen it happen. You can't not respect that. It's genuine. It's organic. It happens. You just got to know. Just stop second guessing him. So, okay, we were at the Super Bowl and went with a group SCU. They're our SoCal friends. So we really didn't have, you know, a horse in the race. But for them, we stood by Rams. And it was rough. It was like when it started happening, I think my friend Frankie was about, like, I saw tears welling up in his eyes, and I was just like, man, just let it happen. This is just happening
to
us.
It just sucks.
We never pick against him. We don't doubt. We're actually the opposite. We're like, he's going to win.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once every 5 years when he doesn't,
if he
it's glorious.
Didn't have arms or legs, he would find a way to win. That's just what he is. It's obnoxious.
He's a winner.
Yes.
That's not the worst.
I guess.
That's not the worst thing
to
be a winner.
It's the worst.
Everyone thinks we suck.
It's the worst. It's awful.
You don't seem like a reality TV person.
I'm not.
So what's the deal? What's are you in the show? You were on the show. It started at the beginning of last year, right? Wags Atlanta?
Yeah. Okay. I was on a show for one season. It was such a good show, it got canceled.
So it's already over. Okay. But like, you didn't play the bossy, brawling. I mean, you're kind of a badass, so why not go in there and just, you know, slap some women around?
Because honestly, the girls all liked me. So that was probably
that's a disaster.
Yeah, no. Really, I wanted to do the show because when I talked to them, I said, hey, can I showcase my, like, women's wrestling agenda here, you know? And they said, yeah. So anytime there's any opportunity to bring, like, women's wrestling to the mainstream, which now is getting a lot of women's wrestling, for a while, there was none of that. I enjoyed that aspect of it. I definitely wanted to be able to promote that on a level, and it gave me that chance. But then when they were like, hey, can you come to the sleepover? I was like, nope.
Wow.
And they were like,
hey,
can you do this? And I was like, no, I gotta wrestle. You guys can come film the wrestling if you want.
They're not asking to do things. It's a reality show. It's just what really happened.
Oh, we'll say it. You sure?
I'm pretty sure that's how it is. I don't know what all this can you come to this is.
Yeah, it was a little, funny.
You mentioned how important it is for you to, you know, to further the cause of women wrestlers and everything else.
Yeah.
I saw an interview where you said it's actually been very easy for you to find, you know, female talent.
Yeah, and, you know, that surprised me, because what we're doing is, it's a leap of faith for a lot of people, you know. There are a lot of ways that you can go that, especially in businesses like wrestling, like, you want the tried and true a lot of times. It's to be adventurous could also be, you know, dangerous for your career in a sense. But people are really just so into the spirit of this that, like I said in that interview last night, more people reach out to me than I do to them. So it's kind of a blessing in that sense, that I don't have to look too hard for talent, because most of the time I'm getting emails and I'm getting messages all the time.
How much does the success of women in MMA help to show that, you know, it's legitimate, and they can fight, and they can, you know, be real high-level competitors, even if they can't act? No names, but, you know.
We're getting to her. So.
Compete at a high level. That has to help as far as the credibility goes, as far as female wrestlers as well, I would think.
Oh, yeah. I think the two help each other immensely. I think we've entered this realm of women can be badasses no matter what, you know, no matter what they set their mind to, that they want to do. If they really want to do it and they're really committed and it's in their soul, why can't they do this? So that's one of the greatest things about pro wrestling. I mean, I was a ring announcer for the longest time before I stepped into the ring, and I'll tell you, the first few times I stepped in the ring, I looked like a ring announcer trying to wrestle, and it was rough. But I put everything into it, and I really just committed fully. And now I thankfully have grown an audience and a fan base that believe in what I do, and that's great.
You can tell you were broadcast journalism at Miami, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Smooth. How did you get that idea?
Hey, you know what? I'll read up on some stuff every once in a while. So Adam was alluding to Ronda Rousey. And she's showing it's not, you are. It's not easy getting in front of the mic. Like, she's having a tough time. I guess she's doing a pretty good job from the wrestling standpoint. And people are buying it. So that's the most important thing.
Well,
but it's not easy getting in front of the mic. Mm-hmm. It's intimidating to remember everything you're supposed to say. And I think it was, 2 weeks ago she was trying to do something and the crowd's just heckling her and she just lost it.
Easy. I commend any person in any, setting that stands up and speaks in front of people, because it is one of the hardest things you can learn how to do. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to learn how to do it. But some people, they get thrown into it. And it's not easy. I mean, I equate that to me throwing myself into the wrestling ring thinking, I've been watching this for a long time. I can do it. It's not that easy.
Did you just get slaughtered early on and hurt yourself a bunch?
No. I didn't start hurting myself until I actually knew what I was doing.
Okay.
But I just was a fish out of water. Yeah. And you can tell when somebody's a fish out of water for sure. And just didn't have the confidence and everything that I needed. But, you know, it's the same with speaking. I tell people all the time, like last night, I didn't speak that much, but a little. And people were saying, are you nervous? I said, no, I know our fans. I know that we're going to talk. I got to tell them some stuff. That's it.
I'm not going to go over a speech.
I got stuff to tell them. I'm excited, but for some people, it takes some time to learn that. I don't know. I always feel like, I don't know how you guys feel. I always feel like it's better to have a conversation than to try to remember a whole bunch of things and then just and then you start to trip and
we read
wrong.
The whole show normally 3 hours. I type it out. We just read it.
Hopefully
we don't flub it.
I have done teleprompter before, with news.
Yeah.
And I was a big advocate of always move the papers, because the teleprompter sometimes starts rolling. And have you ever had that happen?
No, I'm not a TV person.
No?
I actually do some now.
Yeah.
I can't read off the teleprompter.
It's
horrific.
Hard.
Yeah.
It's hard because if that person running it's not paying a little bit of attention, that thing starts going, you're right in the middle of a sentence and then all of a sudden it's black. And if you're not there on your, it's tough.
Well, it's also incredibly hard to also try to be natural while you're reading something.
Yeah, you're staring.
Yeah, of course.
That's why a lot of times
staring
people
off, like, what
their eyes look like glazed over because they're staring. But what? I'm giving away already.
All the secrets. Behind
the
scenes. Is there a real sisterhood with female wrestlers, or can there be some nastiness? Can there be some rivalries?
Yeah, with anything in sports, I think everybody wants the same spot. Everybody wants to be the top of the top. But I think in this day, we're a little bit more supportive of each other than before. I remember when I first got into the wrestling business, even as the announcer, it was a cold atmosphere, the female locker room, just cold, because everybody saw someone coming in as an opportunity for them to get booted out.
Yep.
So now that there's more room for more of us and talent plays into it much more than, I guess, just look, it's become a little bit less of a minefield, which is great. But in my sense, I've noticed a lot of people are a lot more supportive of each other because we want this thing to work. And if I'm difficult with you, it's not going to work for us. So we might as well work together and make it as great as we can.
Who's meaner behind the scenes? Wags or figure skaters? You have a figure skating background.
Yeah.
And you did it until you were 17. So I can only imagine moms.
No, I did until I was 22.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Moms. But as a younger, you started like four, right?
Yeah.
So moms and they're skaters.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, no, I definitely the figure skating in.
Yeah.
Meaner. Definitely meaner. Oh, yeah. I mean, and moms are some of the worst. I've had, moms try to get in my head before skating competitions.
How old were you at the time?
The first time, 4.
Oh, let's do
That's
this.
That's awful.
Those are great parents.
That's awful.
I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, we're going to do this. We're going to win. That's it. I don't
so
have any kids, thank God.
I'm confused as to what happened.
I feel like it's really easy to get in a 4-year-old's head, too.
Yeah. I was all smiles, and then something was said to me, and I was like, what? Mom? What happened?
May 25th, MGM Grand Garden Arena. Brandi Rhodes is in studio with us. All right, so what's the goal? Like, how many shows do you want to do a year? And then how many, relatively big name wrestlers can you bring in? I mean, you got to grow this slowly, or you just go gangbusters right from the gates, right out of the gates?
I mean, we're pretty stacked at the moment. We've got some bang up wrestlers on the roster for sure, and some at least for Double or Nothing, confirmed that we'll be competing. The goal with it is weekly. We'd love to start doing shows weekly. It's definitely a little bit of a, you got to work up to that a bit. But I see it as something that can start happening this year for sure.
You travel weekly or you have a home base?
Right now we're traveling for shows.
But would you be on the road every week?
I anticipate that.
Holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, if with the wrestling market, you want to get to your fans. The shows, if they're live, obviously you don't want the same fans every time.
I don't know how things work anymore with sports. If TV is more important and you can just be in studio all the time and just go out three times a year, I don't know.
True. Yeah, no. I mean, there are some people that do function that way, but they don't function weekly.
Okay.
Yeah. So our goal is weekly. But, time will tell.
Because years ago, this is a very old reference, but there used to be a lot of stationary shows here at the Showboat. It's gone.
Yeah.
But some legends, like AWA used to come out here in the 80s, and they'd replay that on ESPN. So here we go. I'm going old school wrestling.
How old are you?
Well, here's the thing. Again, I was babysat and raised by a TV. My parents would just put me in front of a TV. So like wrestling replays from the 60s and 70s used to play all the time. So in New Jersey, all of a sudden I'm watching Vern Gagne and all those guys in the Midwest, and Hulk Hogan started there and blah blah blah. So, I know nothing about wrestling. I know, I said that when we started. I'm like, not a wrestling guy.
And then
except
he
for
70s. Rattled off all of these
70s
stats.
Wrestling, you're all about it. You're an old man.
You love Ronda Rousey. You're getting into it.
She was a great fighter.
Yeah. Adam's a big UFC guy, so that's his beat. One of his beats. So
okay.
He tries.
He's watching.
She tries.
He's watching.
Okay, I think Ronda's cool. I like Ronda.
I've always liked her.
Yeah.
I've been accused of being a defender in many cases.
That's
on the
good.
Show.
That's called being a fan.
No, not being a fan. Journalist.
She's definitely a breakthrough athlete, and like you said, it's important for women to feel like, hey, I can do just about anything, and especially things that are described as male type sports and male type roles. So she's definitely one of the folks on the forefront of that.
Yeah, I feel like most people don't want to fight Ronda. Would you want to fight Ronda?
No.
Okay.
No. No, definitely not.
I don't know. Maybe you have some moves that I don't know about.
He's got a chokeout move.
Yeah.
That'll drop on his brother, but his brother's woefully out of shape and old like he is. So he's pretty easy to take out.
Wow. You guys, hey.
Oh, we get me. Yeah, what are you going to do?
You might be okay in the ring.
Steve's just an angry. When he eats at anything, he just gets angry.
Like a Hulk thing.
I think he would forget whatever he was supposed to do, whatever the plan was would be out the window.
He shakes his fist at the sun. He's that guy.
Curmudgeonly.
All bark, no bite. Except a couple times I've whacked myself in the face if I was a little mush mouth in studio.
He really has.
There's an intensity with everything we do.
It's scary.
We're here to compete and win every day. Come on, let's go.
Is that when he plays softball, he will throw at the runner instead of at the base?
Not every time.
Because he gets angry.
Not every time.
That'll get you out of the game.
It's our sport.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to watch some Tigers with him.
Yes.
They don't do that. They don't hit people with
the ball. Okay.
he would definitely be going right to the chair. Like, there's no moves for – he just finds the chair.
Oh, right to the steel chair?
Yeah, there's no question.
Okay, so you'd need a hardcore match then.
Yes.
Because that would be allowed.
Sure. Tie us together with a chain. Cowbell match. Just whack each other.
Fair.
You're down with that, Chrissy?
Yeah, let's set that up.
Okay.
I mean, I'll not
referee?
Be a part of it. Yeah.
You want a referee?
You can host.
Okay.
And we can just watch them beat the crap out of each other with cowbells.
That sounds good. Whenever you guys want to do that, let me know.
So tickets available now. Where can people get tickets?
You can go to allelitewrestling.com. We're actually still in the presale. So the presale started last night, and it goes until, I think, 7 Pacific on Sunday. And this is just where you're signing up to hopefully be admitted into the presale. We can't guarantee everybody get into the presale. After that, if you don't, the general admission is on the 13th. So we're hoping as many people get those presale tickets as they can. Those are kind of the hardcore fans. So
well, last time there was plenty for 28 minutes. You had plenty of tickets.
Oh.
For 28 minutes.
That was it.
I'll tell you, last time I went on the site myself just to see what was happening, because I had a feeling it was going to sell out pretty quickly. And I popped on the site, and immediately I got put in the virtual waiting room. I never made it out
for
the virtual waiting room. So it's really hit or miss. Like, that was me. There was no, there's no tomfoolery going on. It's just the nature of the beast.
There you go. I'm hearing a lot of great things about what you guys are trying to do. So it's very exciting that it'll be here in Vegas. I'm sure people that are, you know, interested will definitely be jumping at it because, like I said, anybody that I know that's all about wrestling is 100% in with you guys. So it's a very exciting project.
Awesome. I love to hear that. Thank you.
All right, Brandy. We appreciate it. All Elite Wrestling back here on May 25th, MGM.
Visit Cofield's Corner on LVSportsNetwork.com for access to the latest podcasts and best interviews. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Ingram still dribbling. Ingram to the rim. All the way to the basket. Blocked by Horford. Ball's loose. Grabbed by Rondo for the win. He got it! Rajon Rondo at the buzzer. A follow-away two-pointer. Lakers 129. Celtics 128. It's over on a game winner by Rajon Rondo. How do you like them apples?
There you go. John Ireland. Michael Thompson, get out of the way, bro. Come on, let him finish the call. Lakers Radio Network, great game, great ending. LeBron and the Lakers go to Boston and win. Now, I'm the one who said, was it 2 years ago? I don't know, a year and a half ago. Celtics would win the East from now until 2026. It's become more difficult.
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, I think they're going to have to make some moves because, and I'm not talking about this year, but this year, everyone else made moves. The Sixers, the Bucks, the Raptors, all made moves.
Door was open and everybody saw it.
The surprising team that's really going for it and actually mentioned in Anthony Davis rumors, the Bucks. Marcus Pfaff's one of our guys, Vegas guy. He's doing radio for The Score in Wisconsin. What's up?
What's up, boys? Yeah, I couldn't believe my ears when I first heard that because literally no superstar in the history of the NBA has ever chosen voluntarily to come to Milwaukee. And I'm not saying Anthony Davis is going to end up there. It doesn't seem likely. But the fact that he put them on the list feels like a win for Bucks fans at this point.
Is there anything we're missing beyond just wanting to play with Giannis? Is there any connection there at all?
No, none. I think this is completely the Giannis effect, and it's sort of, you know, you can attribute some of this, I suppose, to the ownership group and what they've done since taking over probably 5 years now from Senator Cole, Herb Cole, who was previously the owner of this team. But, you know, since they've come in, they've run a top-flight organization top to bottom. I have to hand it to them from day one. Even the off-the-court stuff, the marketing was very much improved since they took over. And then this year, it just feels like the entire plan has sort of coalesced for them. Certainly Mike Budenholzer was a big part of that in bringing a new offense to town and, frankly, restoring some confidence to a team that I think we're seeing now has an awful lot of talent but really never realized that under Jason Kidd. So you got the new arena working in their favor, so the facilities are top flight, new practice facility. As far as basketball alone goes, I mean, the Bucks are as good as anybody. It's just, are you willing to come to Milwaukee and play through these harsh winters? And it certainly seems like right now a lot of guys are starting to value basketball over maybe some of that ancillary stuff.
How has the winter been?
you know how it's been. You've seen the forecast. This is brutal. Now, I'm fortunate I've been able to get out from time to time and go see some friends in other parts of the country, but, you know, what, 3 degrees, I think, right now?
Nice. So,
very, very lovely this time of year. So, no, I'm hoping to get back out your way real soon because, you know, more than a couple of weeks of this, and you really need a break.
I had to wear sunglasses at the pool this morning.
Thanks, Adam.
What a jerk.
Appreciate that, man.
No problem.
What a jerk. How popular is the Greek Freak around town?
Yeah, well, in Milwaukee alone, it's insane. And I phrase it that way, guys, because the Bucks, like the Brewers, when you're coming from a small market like that, in particular when you're the only pro team in the state, they really do claim the state of Wisconsin as their market. And I think it holds true. Pretty much everybody from, you know, the furthest reaches north to you know, right there on the border with Illinois, tend to claim those teams. So, but it, I mean, his popularity in the city is absolutely insane right now. And I would venture to say that it rivals that of Aaron Rodgers in the state of Wisconsin, which is pretty wild to say, but given what the Packers have done the last couple of years, I'm not sure they're as top of mind as they typically are. Now, don't get me wrong, the Packers are still always first in the pecking order around here, but you know, he's doing things that for a Bucs fan, you haven't seen since, and I'm not overstating this, you haven't seen since Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in town in the early 70s. I mean, you had the team in the early 2000s, Ray Allen, Glenn Robinson, Sam Cassell, and they made it to the Eastern Conference Finals in 01. And it was crazy to see just how excited the city got for Bucks basketball at that point. But, you know, Giannis is on another level. And we're talking about a global superstar here because of his roots and where he comes from. And then certainly the nature of the game today and televised in all cities, and you're starting to see the Bucks on national television on a fairly regular basis. So, yeah, I mean, it's pretty wild between him and then certainly the baseball fans in the state with Christian Yelich winning MVP in the NL. I think if you're a Milwaukee sports fan right now, you're feeling about as fortunate as you ever have in terms of guys that are out there to root for.
We got, what, a couple more seasons of Giannis around that he's locked up under contract. So, I mean, do you expect at some point, we talked about Anthony Davis, he wants to go there. Do you expect this is somebody that they could keep in there in Milwaukee for his career and keep him around and maybe build around him?
Adam, I do. And, you know, I don't want to sound naive in thinking, well, sure, he loves Milwaukee. He said he loves Milwaukee. He's obviously staying. I mean, we all understand how the NBA is, and you know, things change. It's a volatile game, certainly, when it comes to the business side. So, yeah, I think things could change, but the makeup of Giannis is a little bit different than a lot of other superstars that I have seen, and I think that any of us have seen, and I don't know, you know, we could get into, does that come from just his upbringing and where he came from and all of that, and some people might say, well, that's a bit of a stretch and a little bit sappy, but I don't know that it is. I truly do think that he appreciates the city, he appreciates the organization for giving him the opportunity back when he was that lanky 17-year-old kid coming over from Greece who just had a lot of potential but really not much else. And he's a guy that eats, sleeps, and breathes basketball, and that probably sounds cliche too, but when you talk about some of the greats that we've seen, and Kobe certainly comes to mind because Giannis sought out Kobe this past offseason to go out to Los Angeles and work out with him. And I think he has that same mentality towards the game in wanting to be great, wanting to be the best that he can be. And if the Bucks continue to prove to him that, hey, you can win here, I don't see any reason that he would walk away from that. Now, it's going to be an interesting offseason because four of the five starters, the only one that's not, frankly, is Giannis, but four of the five starters are going to be free agents. Malcolm Brogdon will be restricted. But you also have to figure out, are you going to try to bring Brook Lopez back? I venture to guess he made himself an awful lot of money already to this point of the year with what he's done from beyond the arc. Chris Middleton, their other all-star, is going to be a free agent, and so is Eric Bledsoe. So what does John Horst, the young GM there, do, knowing that you want to keep Giannis happy in this basketball sense because that's probably the best chance you have of keeping him around? And who knows? I mean, maybe they do find a way to bring in a top-flight free agent. I think fans in Milwaukee still want to believe there's a way to get Anthony Davis to town. I just don't see it because of the fact that you've already dealt away several first-round picks here the past couple of years to assemble the team that you have, and then dealt away here, what, four yesterday to get Mirotić into town. So, to your original point, original question, Adam, I think they can keep him here. But it's a matter of making sure that the talent around him here is here as well, because that's what's ultimately going to make him content and feel like he can win championships.
Talking Bucks, it's pretty weird, right? Best team in the East, 40-13 right now. Marcus Pfaff, the scorer in Wisconsin, is on the horn with us. Why do they trade for Mirotić?
Well, I think because he fits Mike Budenholzer's system perfectly. You talk about the five out, and I'm still blown away by what the offense has done this year for the Bucks. I mean, after years of watching Jason Kidd and guys just frustrated and not getting it on both ends of the floor, the Bucks looked like they were lost with regularity on defense, certainly, and then offense, I just don't know that guys really knew where they fit in. But Mirotić comes in, he strokes it well from deep. He's a big, fits that mold of, you know, long athletic talent that the the Bucks have gone about assembling here in the draft the last few years, and then adding to certainly in free agency as well. So I mean, he's a floor spacer. You can set him out there. He's probably one of the first or second guy off the bench along with George Hill. And if he can knock down triples, I mean, that's going to open the floor even more for Giannis, which is what the guys that are already in town have been able to do for him this year, most notably Brook Lopez, which, to go back to that, a little tangent here for a minute, that's why I think that's so interesting this offseason. Can they keep him around? Because to me, that's been the biggest difference in allowing Giannis to have that spacing to get into the paint for a guy who doesn't yet have a consistent jump shot. If you're pulling the big, the five all the way out to the arc, I mean, we're talking Lopez hitting shots from 35 feet at times, which is just insane. I mean, it's created a whole new dynamic for this team. So as far as Mirotić goes, I think that's where he fits in perfectly. Ersan Ilyasova is probably a similar talent or has occupied a similar role to this point, but he had gone cold there for a couple of weeks. Now Mirotić gives you another option. And frankly, I don't know if it would have happened, guys, if Thon Maker a few weeks ago hadn't come out and requested a trade, which most people are going, are you crazy? I mean, first of all, you're Thon Maker. I mean, no offense. I mean, he's got some upside, certainly. I still believe that he could be a decent player in this league. But and you're on the best team. Your minutes are a little bit sporadic. So what? I mean, wait it out. But he didn't want to do that, and that seems to be ultimately what sort of played the role of catalyst here to bring Mirotić.